A Royal Marriage Feast, Chapter 69. Many servants are working industriously, thoroughly cleaning a large room in a beautiful, spacious royal palace. Long tables are set in place with resting benches placed around them. The lamps are inspected and filled with oil. There also is plenty of activity in the kitchen, where the servants are cooking and roasting. It smells delicious. What is going to take place? It seems as though preparations are being made for a feast. Indeed, it is as you say. A feast shall be celebrated in the palace. It will be a wedding feast. The king's son is going to marry. And for this marriage feast, everything is being prepared. No cost or trouble will be spared. Many are invited to attend this wedding. Finally, all things are ready. The long tables are covered with the most delicious foods. The choicest wine sparkles in the glasses. Once more, the king inspects everything. Then he gives orders to call in the invited guests. How glad the invited people must be. It is a great honor to be permitted to come to eat at the king's table. The servants leave to perform their master's command. But after a lapse of some time, they return home alone. They are grieved, and indignantly they inform the king the guests have refused to comply with the request of the invitation. They do not want to come. This is a great insult to the sovereign. Does he fly into a rage? No, not now. This king is patient and long-suffering. He sends other servants to the invited persons. These servants must say to the expected guests, "The dinner is ready. The oxen and fatlings are slain and prepared. All things are ready. Come to the marriage." The servants go, and by renewal bring this message to the people. How kind and friendly of this king to call them once again, isn't it? And do they come now? Do they see the error of their actions? Let us look at what happens. A royal messenger comes to one who has been bidden. He urges him kindly but firmly to attend the wedding. Without saying one word, this man turns around and goes away. He goes to his farm and lets the royal servant stand. Can anything be more impolite? Another man goes to his merchandise. We would say he goes to his store or his factory. One after the other refuses to come. Some of the king's servants are maltreated and beaten, and several are slain. Isn't it horrible? How dare they? The royal servants return. Some of them are injured and have bleeding wounds. They tell their lord what they have experienced. Then the king becomes angry, very angry. Surely this is not surprising. He sends an army to this rebellious city. The murderers of the king's messengers are slain by the soldiers, and the city is set on fire. Nothing remains of this city but a smoking heap of ruins. This punishment they deserve. It is righteous. What now? The feast hall has been made ready. The foods are ready to be served, but the guests have refused to come. Are they still going to have a feast? Oh, yes. The king again sends out his servants. Now they must go outside the city to the intersections of the roads and invite people to the wedding. They must call everyone whom they see. And sure enough, slowly the hall begins to fill with people. No, they are not high-ranking, distinguished people. Most of them are poor, common people. Finally, every place is filled. The room is filled with seated guests. The king comes inside. He views the waiting group. Suddenly, he discovers one who is not clothed with a wedding garment. Immediately, he goes to this man and says, "Friend, why are you not clothed in a wedding garment?" This man blushes and is silent. He cannot give an answer to this question. The Bible says he was speechless. The king is angry. He calls a few of his servants. And then, oh, just look. This man is made a prisoner. His hands and feet are firmly bound. He is dragged outside and locked in a dark dungeon. God's word says he is cast into outer darkness. But, was this righteous? The majority of the guests who sat at the table were poor and common people. They had no wedding garments, neither had they money to buy them. This poor man is taken away to be cast into outer darkness. Again, is this sentence righteous? Isn't it cruel? Isn't this a ticklish question? It seems cruel and unrighteous, but in reality it is not so. For the guests themselves need not own a wedding garment. The king supplied everyone who entered the room with a wedding garment. Their own dirty, worn, and probably torn clothing had to be taken off. And in return, they received the royal feasting clothes. This one man had refused to accept the royal wedding garment. Why, no, he thought. This is not necessary. He thought his own clothing good enough. He was too proud to put on received clothing. He sat among the other guests clothed in his own filthy clothing. It was an insult to the king, and for this reason, the king was very angry. That is why the man was sent from the room and locked up in darkness. He deserved the severe punishment because he was too proud to receive a covering which was given personally by the king. This story is a parable, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus is still in the temple. He is surrounded by a great multitude. Many Pharisees and scribes, clothed in their stately clothing, stand in the foreground. They stand with fury in their hearts and hatred in their eyes. The Lord Jesus especially spoke this parable to these rulers. It is a serious warning for them. You understand very well, this parable has a more profound meaning. The Lord Jesus does not tell an ordinary story. No, there is a serious meaning in it. He would teach the rulers something with this parable. This is its explanation. The king is God. Wasn't God Israel's heavenly king? The son of this king is the Lord Jesus. He came down upon this earth to make his people happy. He would deliver them from the slavery of the devil and sin. The glory of heaven is meant by this marriage feast. God had sent his ministers, his servants, his prophets to the Jewish people to invite them to come to the wedding feast. But what response did this people give to this kind invitation? They beat and maltreated the prophets of the Lord. They slew some of God's servants. They would not listen. They preferred to serve idols of wood and stone. Time after time, God sent other prophets. Time after time, the invitation from God's side was renewed to come to the wedding. But they continually refused to come. Now, for the last time, by the use of this parable, the Lord Jesus is warning the proud Pharisees to no longer cast away God's callings, for the punishment shall surely come. The city of Jerusalem shall be destroyed and burned. Thousands shall be slain by the Romans. God will use the Roman heathens to chastise the Jewish nation for their wickedness. But if they continue to refuse to come, the Lord's servants will be sent outside the city. They will perform their labors on the highways. This means the heathens will have the gospel made known to them. Children, to you too comes this invitation of God's servants. You too are invited to the marriage. It is also proclaimed to you that you still can be converted. What response do you give to these serious callings? Do you laugh God's servants to scorn behind their backs? Do you ridicule them? Terrible. God will certainly and surely punish it. God is not to be mocked, neither will he permit his servants to be mocked. But the Lord is patient and long-suffering. To this moment he has upheld and spared us, although we deserve eternal death. He still invites us through the glorious gospel. This godly invitation comes to everyone who hears God's word. We can never, no, never enter into eternal bliss in our own clothing. We must be clothed in the royal wedding garment. Do you know what those words mean? The Pharisees had no need of a Savior, isn't that so? And they thought they could merit heaven by their almsgiving and their long prayers. They were too pious, too good to need a Savior. They were of the opinion they could reconcile an angry God by their own works. These were the clothes of their own self-righteousness. But they were mistaken. No one can merit heaven himself. It has become impossible due to sin. We all lie dead in sins and transgressions. But the Lord Jesus has come down upon this corrupt earth. He bore the curse and the wrath of God. By his suffering and dying, he has merited the heavenly wedding garment for all his people. Salvation is given to them by grace, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Aren't God's people blessed? The possibility for you to be saved still exists. It is true. We read in God's word, many are called, but few are chosen. But with these words, we do not read who the chosen ones are. God's call comes to us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Therefore, bend your knees daily, imploring the Lord to uncover to you your sins. Ask him by the operation of the Holy Spirit to make room in your heart for the Lord Jesus.